Time to catch up with the NRL economist, Rami Hayder. We do that each and every Monday on afternoons. He's on the line right now. G'day, Rami.
Julian, how are you?
Going really well. You know, it's weird. I was watching a bit of Moneyball last night, and I was thinking about this notion of undervalued players, and this is what we're going to look at today. So you've got three categories measuring who are the most undervalued or underrated players in the competition. So just tell us or explain each category and then go through which players you think are providing greatest value to their team.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, let's keep in mind that when we're talking about undervalued, we're not necessarily saying that this is only sort of focused on players that are at the lower end of the salary spectrum. You know, and it could be top-end players. We're talking about players that are providing a surplus value, that is, a value above and beyond what they're actually being appraised at or paid for by their clubs. So, essentially, there's three categories. I'll explain each one for you listeners. So, there's an effective defense ratio. And what that does is it conflates a variety of different defensive measures into one and then sort of gives you, it spits out a figure and ranks all players against each other with a bit of a benchmark. The second one is strike per possession. Now, strike per possession obviously sort of includes attacking statistics. So things like effective offloads, line break assists, tackle busts, try assists. And essentially, it's a measure of how often a player creates something when they actually have the ball in hand. And it's a relative measure because it's sort of, you know, it's in comparison to how many possessions they've had throughout 2022. The final one, yardage, I'll explain a bit later. We'll go in a bit more depth for it, but it's probably, in my mind, probably the most important of the three. But yeah, let's get stuck in. So the first one, in terms of effective defense ratio, the player that actually sits right at the very top in season 2022 is actually Toff Sipley from the Manly Seagulls. Now, he's a prop. You might sort of recognize him with the long flowing locks. He's got quite long hair. And his effective defense is at 97.39%. So, you know, the amount of times when he goes into tackle and actually has a bit of an error in his defense is actually quite rare. And he kind of tops it out. A few others, I'm going to spit out some names at you and you tell me what you think of these guys. Alex Twoll, ranked fourth across every single player. Carl Lawton, who's a player that Manly bought from the Warriors last year. And it was a bit of a sort of a random buy. It wasn't planned by the Sea Eagles, but it's certainly worked out for them because his defense has actually been outstanding. I know he's out now at the, as we speak, with the suspension, but Pat Carrigan, who we've seen in the State of Origin, and his effective defence is at 92.6%. What do you think of some of those guys?
Oh, huge. And Carrigan doesn't surprise me. The other ones that you drill down on that aren't necessarily household names, like Toff Sipley, as you mentioned, that's interesting, and Carl Lawton, for that matter. Let me ask you this, though, Rami. I mean, this is more than just missed tackles, and the reason I ask this, I remember prior to Origin 1, and they said, well, Ben Hunt is amongst or misses more tackles than just about any other player in the game. And so New South Wales are going to run their big men at him. But I think the counter to that was, well, not all missed tackles are the same. Not all missed tackles are the same. So, you know, it also, I guess, depends. You may have a lower defence ratio, but it doesn't necessarily impact the outcome of the match.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to keep in mind that horses for courses. So I guess you got to sort of focus on what you actually want this player for, because, you know, a player that brings you a lot of strike isn't necessarily the best defender. But if you're a team like the Bulldogs and have struggled over the last couple of years in terms of creating points and creating attacking opportunities, then certainly you're willing to forego a bit of a defensive lapse from a player that's actually going to bring you that you know, offensive capability. So the other one I'll mention as well in terms of the defence is Bunty Afoa from the Warriors. Now, I've spoken privately to a couple of coaches who said to me, you know, in the right environment, this guy could see, and these are their words, not mine, this guy could be a superstar of the game, like an absolute, you know, real gun player that, you know, perhaps in a better performing team might be able to kind of show his true value. And to answer your question, no, it includes other things. So things like try causes, line break causes, ineffective tackles. So yeah, there's a variety of measures that have gone into to create this metric.
Tell us about strike per possession. Things like that encompasses offloads and line breaks and line break assists and tackle busts. Now, I could be way off here, but a man who I think is always big on those stats is James Tedesco. Am I way off here?
Ooh, James Tedesco. Let me actually filter my results because I actually it's obviously a fairly lengthy one.
We've
got every player listed there. So James Tedesco sits at 38th.
Okay.
But let's keep in mind that that's actually an outstanding result, because you got to consider that you're talking about, and I'll go down the list in terms of strike per possession. You got 358 players this year who have 30 or more possessions across the year. So, you know, I've excluded players that haven't had, you know, a very sort of small sample size, at least to assess by. So, yeah, he's certainly performed quite well. But the player at the very top of the list, and this guy, it's actually outstanding. I'm very proud of the fact that he's achieved this result, which is 53.7% of his possessions end up in some form of offensive threat. And that's Jacob Kiraz from the Bulldogs. That's the young guy that's come through. He's played a bit of wing and centre.
Yeah. Small sample size there, though, Remy.
Keep in mind, he did come in. He wasn't there from the very beginning of the season, but he's held his own. And certainly in terms of an attacking threat, he's certainly posed one. Carting the ball out from deep in his own half, taking the high balls and creating breaks for his Bulldogs team. The other player that's done really well is Ronaldo Molitalo, the winger for the Sharks, at 46.55%. A few other names I'm just going to spit out real quick. Greg Marju from the Titans. Corey Harawira-Naira, who's a second rower from the Raiders. Katoni Staggs, that's an obvious one, from the Broncos. Nick Kotrich, Taylor May, and believe it or not, for a team that's performing so poorly, James Roberts. He's at 17th in terms of strike per possession, which is an outstanding result for a team that's, you know, really struggled this
Interesting.
Year.
Interesting. I'm seeing trends in outside backs there too. Rami, is there something in that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in terms of creating these offensive threats, you know, the tackle busts are more likely to be accrued by a winger or centre or even a fullback than it would be a prop forward or second rower. So I guess it sort of goes with the territory. But, you know, if you want to break it down into, let's say we're talking about the most, the prop with the greatest strike, I'd say Nelson Asofa-Solomona at 31.6% of his possessions end up in some form of attacking threat. And that's, you know, he's above and beyond the standard there for props. So, you know, it does depend on your position, and there is, you know, obviously a positional benchmarking that you can compare individual players to.
Okay, so Jacob Kiraz is heartening news for Doggies fans, leads the way in strike per possession. All right, you mentioned their props. Let's go to number three, yardage.
Yes, so yardage index is essentially based off a minimum, at the very least, of 20 runs this year. And what it does is it measures what proportion of runs accrued were of 8 metres or more. So what you're trying to do is create disorganisation in the defensive line of your opposition, right? You're trying to sort of really rattle their cage and be penetrating their line. And, you know, when you have a lot of what I call shortstop players, they're the players that, you know, they'll do a hit up, but it's 6 meters, right? And it's not really generating that momentum that, you know, the ensuing plays need to, you know, really damage the opposition. And so in terms of yardage index, 85% of Tepai Moroa's runs end up in 8 meters or more in terms of his yardage. So he's certainly done really well. Jason Taumalolo is an obvious one, but I'm going to throw some others at you that aren't sort of recognised in this space. So that's Hame Sele from South Sydney, Jordan McLean from the Cowboys, Murray Tuolangi from the Cowboys, Adam Fanua-Blake from the Warriors, Leilua, who's obviously transitioned now, but most of these figures would have been accrued at the Tigers. And here's one for you in terms of a potential buy, because he's on the nose at Parramatta, and that's Nathan Brown, who ranks in at 17th, you know. And we're talking, you know, across the entire NRL, so it's fairly significant for him to be able to achieve that. The final one I'll say is Bunty Afoa, yet again, here he appears. So certainly an opportunity lies there for a smart GM to, you know, pounce and perhaps get a player that might provide that surplus value we spoke of.
Indeed. Can I just throw one name at you? I'm just curious to see where he sits, Rami. Payne Haas.
Payne Haas, in terms of yardage?
Yes.
Yep. So let me just scan down this. Here we go. Payne Haas ranks at 11th.
So that's pretty
in yardage.
Good.
Yep. And that's, absolutely, yeah. He's sort of top line across the board in all the statistics. So that's out of 337 players. and he ranks there. And across the board, you know, in terms of strike as well, he does really well. Defence, you know, absolutely elite in terms of prop forwards. But in terms of those other players that are perhaps under the radar, there's quite a few out there that, you know, would provide that value to a team at a far, you know, a far smaller cost. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, Brad Fittler's certainly a fan of Jordan McLean. He's been paying attention because he's back. Well, back. It's the first time he's made the New South Wales side. Fascinating to chat. Thank you so much, Remy.
Not a problem. Thanks, Julian.
There he is. Remy Hayter, the NRL economist.